All right, so we're picking up now on the question of Disa Rana. Disa coming to Rana. So we spoke last time about the Shita that disagreed with the predominant one, that coming to Rana, we spoke about Shita Sarbiya Zegli, that coming to Rana. Now we'll turn to the mainstream opinion, and one that's certainly Saiba Alacha, that the Chametz is indeed Asur Hana, Chametz Pesach, it's Asur Lihanos Menu. And now we'll turn to, in this year, we're not going to finish the topic, I think, this particular year, but we'll at least start it. We're going to turn to the issue of the source of the Asur, the Makor of the Asur Hana, which the Gemara asks, explicitly, directly, how do we know? Right, the Gemara says, "In Chotav and Mabez, right? Minayin l'chametz pesach shasur b'ana." Right, so the mainstream opinion is that it's asur b'ana, but where does it say that? Where do we hear that from? And the Gemara basically presents overall three opinions. One I left off that comes up. It's really just something which is mentioned in the Gemara itself. It isn't clear that anybody does much with it. We'll get to that eventually. But the main two options the Gemara presents are Chizkiya and Rabbi Abba. Right? Chizkiya presents, right, his opinion that it is to be derived, that the fact that it's Asur B'ana is derived from the how unusual it is, actually haven't counted, but the particular binyan, is that what it is? Right? The reflexive binyan of Lo ye'achel, instead of lo yochal, referring to the act, the kal of don't eat it, it says lo ye'achel. It shall not be eaten. That's what seemingly this phrase means. And Rabbi Abba asserts that in as much as it says lo ye'achel, what that means, what that indicates, is that it is asur b'hana. Now, before we get to just how it indicates that, the Gemara on Chavam Beis does not tell us whether or not how Chizkiya came to this. One could have assumed Chizkiya simply is contemplating the meaning of the words lo ye'achel, or perhaps Chizkiya had some kind of tradition, right? So this is what lo ye'achel meant. The Gemara later on, however, says that it's neither of those. The Gemara on the Chaf Gimel and Aleph, in the end, says that Chizkiya himself derives this from a pasuk. The pasuk is Shrutz in the Gemara and Chalkim and Aleph. Right, this is among the cases where the Gemara says, you know, challenges both Rabbi Abba and Chizkiya, right, that, before you do Rabbi Abba, but just, you know, that there are cases where the words say, lo yachal say, and it's mudr b'ana, or it's asur b'ana. Right, there are some cases where it's asur b'ana, but we don't know it from the fact that it says lo yachal. It seems like we derive it from something else. Right, both of these are challenges. So one of the examples of the first kind of challenge is Shrutzim, where the pasuk uses a formulation regarding shrutzim, ari shrutzim. Derachmana amar sheketu lo ye'achel. Right, so on your interpretation, that should mean that it is forbidden b'hana. But we then find in the Mishnah, tzayid dechaya v'opos v'dagmishin es damnu lehem minin tmein mutarin l'mochron l'nachron, that it is mutter to sell these things. Right? That if you... There's a point that it has to be dagmishin es damnu, and we'll find out why that would be. But the point is that if it's damnu, if it happens to be that you caught in your net, these shrugs in, so it's perfectly permissible for you to sell them and to get the benefits, the financial benefits. But this would be impossible if it were asur b'ana. So we find it is mutter b'ana, and yet it does have the pasuk, which you claim means that it's like, that there's no hana. And the answer the Gemara gives is Shani Hasan Zamar Kra Lachem Shalachem Yehe. Right, that it's yours. Okay. Let's see, that's the basic pattern that you find for many of the answers, is there's a diya to offset what would otherwise have been the what you would have derived. So then the Gemara says, Ulechizkiya, this is a question the Gemara asks both on Chizkiya and Rabbi Abba. We'll see Rabbi Abba, who has a different, more expanded shita, but certainly agrees that Le'yachal also has the implication of an Isra Hana. He just thinks it's not limited to Le'yachal. We'll get to that. But the Gemara second, the Gemara asks, "Lechiski lamali lichta lo yachal u'maisi lachem mishraya lo lichta rachmana lo yachal lo bay lachem." All right, why do you need to have? This is a question which the Rishon pick up on. It's somewhat selectively asked. It's not always asked. This question not always posed. Here, the Gemara does pose it. Why bother? Why go through saying it in the formulation, in the spring formulation of lo yachal? If only to then be matir b'na, meaning the assumption is, and the reason this is being asked to be a chiskiya is because you can just say lo yochal, lo salchul, right? So why say lo yachal if not to asr b'na? If this is what lo yachal is to be understood as, if not to asr b'na, and it's not asr b'na because the pasuk says explicitly lachem. So why would it? Why would you have the Torah provide a particular formulation which is what it uses when it wants to asr b'na? But only then to come around and be madrana. It just doesn't make so much sense. Right? No, this is not specifically a disproof, it's more of a challenge. Like, why would we even go through this? So the Gemara says, this is what Chizki's response is, that's where I learned this from. Right? In other words, right? Amalach Chizkiya, time of D, Nami Mehasa. I derived it, I reconstructed based on what I found here. Meaning, the pasuk needed to be matir, the hanava, that which it asserted the loya afel. What I got from here is that when the Torah says "Vaya Achel" means to be offering it b'hanah, right? And therefore, that's what I say is the makor for the Isser Chametz b'hanah. So it ends up, we end up learning that Rabbi Yehuda didn't come to this by thinking really hard about the meaning of "Vaya Achel" and the binyan of "Vaya Achel," nor did he come to it by tradition. He came to it by simply extrapolating and reconstructing based on the fact that the case. There's a case where the Torah is understood as being matir in Hana'a, where it says lo yachal. So apparently it needed to be matir, something which otherwise would have been usur. So that's where he learned that he is to be understood, that he is we are to understand lo yachal to mean to somehow come to prohibit Hana'a. That's Rabbi Bo. That's his gift. Then you have Rabbi Bo, who believes that it is not limited to this. Meaning the way the Gemara formulates it is that according to Chizkiya, it seems it's specifically lo yachal when it's using that binyan. But otherwise, there is no, we are not to infer in Isser Hana'ah for something that the Torah prohibits the achila. And Rabbi Bo disagrees. Rabbi Bo thinks that it's lav dafka lo yachal, does say lo yachal here. Lo yachal tamets. It also happens to say, although it depends on what we interpret the other, right, the other two lavin of achila for tamets, whether or not it would be relevant for us. Let's just say, according to the way some Tanoim, some Rishon Paskin, the only Isser of Chametz B'Pesach, which is Chametz Gomer B'Pesach, is Lo Yachal Chametz. Right? It's in Rambam's understanding, which we'll get to. The Isser of Lo Sochal Lo Chametz is for Erev Pesach, Michatzos, and the Isser of Komach Chametz Lo Sochlu, so that's something else. For the Rambam, that's an Isser of Karovetz Chametz. So the Isser Stam Chametz, but Pesach is Lo Yehacha Chametz. So the point is that Rabbi Bo disagrees, Lav Dafka necessarily, I'll get this when I get to the Rambam, which is the point that I should probably make when I get to the Rambam. Rabbi Bo disagrees, Lav Dafka, that the Makor is Lo Yehacha Chametz for the Isser Na'a Chametz. He disagrees, though, that it had to be the fact that it's Lo Yehacha. Right? So he thinks any time Torah asks b'achila, it asks b'hana. Okay? Now, as I say, that could either mean that Rabbi Bo is perfectly willing, depending on what these other Isur mar, to learn from the other one, to derive from the other Sukkim, Lo Sochal Chametz, Lo Komachas Lo Sochal, or even if it is in the end, Lo Yachal Chametz, but the point is it's not because it says Yachal, it's just the fact that the Torah prohibits Vachila, right? Kol Makom, the Torah prohibits Vachila, so the major point is that Rabbi Bo thinks it's a general, establishes a general thought, Kol Makom, Shenemar, Lo Yachal, Lo Sochal, Lo Sochal. So that implies not only Nisar Achila, but Nisar Hanah, unless and until the Torah then licenses the Hanah, offsets the Isser that was implied by Achila, the Isser Lasoklu rather, with a Heter Hanah, somewhere one way or another, but the clearest example of this that is cited here is Bin Yavela Ger, depending on, without getting into the details just now, right, depending on what the on what you hold regarding different other contexts, for some time, the prime example of this will be Nevela, or Meir, that the Torah specified and formulated that there's a heter of Nesina Umechira lenachri lakum, right? Or ger tochav lenachri, rather. Right, that the fact that you can sell it and give it away to others, to non-Jews. You know what, I mean, I should get a little saturated with sweat. So. It's good to know. Hey, backup masks are probably a good option. Anyway, so the Rabbi Meir, that's the heter that we find. Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara here establishes that Rabbi Yehuda probably would not be able to claim this is the license that the pasuk is licensing Hana, based on the fact that it says you can give it to a nafri, you can give it to a ger, or sell it to a goy, because that's not there are actually other halachos that it's telling us. I'm not getting to it for now. So for him, you wouldn't be able to assume that the reason the pasuk needed to specify all this is because otherwise I would have thought it was aser b'hana, right? Rather, for him, the license, the example that we'll say is from Trefa. Now, Trefa, the pasuk says, l'kele tashlikon also. Here too, it's a little bit interesting, I'm trying to point this out. The Gemara seems not to derive just from the fact that the pasuk explicitly says you can feed it to dogs, right? You can feed it to your dog, let's say. Could have just said that itself is the heter. That's what we're talking about. It requires a deal from the pasuk, right? That it's oso, but not acherim, those which are otherwise, it says oso, so other isuri achila, those you can't necessarily throw to a dog. We'll get to that too. It's just an interesting point. And the Rishon basically tried to find why did we have to say to be dorish from oso to indicate that there's. It's dafka, right, trefa, but as opposed to something else, I'll just say, the fact is, regarding trefa, it said, regarding trefa, right, with the pasuk, osoku, losachelu, right, it said losachelu, and then it says, like, kelto shikon oso, why does it need to tell us, like, kelto shikon oso? Must be because it's licensing that which would otherwise have been prohibited under losoku, so losachelu. And the Gemara doesn't really say that. The Gemara says, you know, and that would be the equivalent of Heter, Mechira, Netina, Messina, Leger, Legoi, for Meir. The Gemara doesn't really say that. The Gemara says, it's a drasha. Also, Atamashet, Kela, Yitamashet, Kela, Kosir, Tripitara, right? Other Isuri Achila, no. But this one, you can as opposed to others. Why does it need to be darshaning the word Oso? So that already, see, there's a Machok, we're showing you different answers to this. Rashi had his answer, right, that I could have understood the fact that the pasuk says, I'll tell the Toshikon Oso, is teaching us something else. Re-Orleans, right, the Rabbi Yaakov in Orleans, one of the Talmidim, or early Talmidim of Rabbi Tam, he had a different answer about what that other din could have been that we could have derived just from the fact that it says, I'll tell the Toshikon Oso. One or the other, in the end, the pasuk says, I'll tell the Toshikon Oso regarding Trefa, that isn't true regarding Shaar Yisroel, or doesn't say it, and therefore, that's what the basis for Rabbi Bo derives, and he understands that when it says lo sofu, when prohibits bachila something, so then unless it says otherwise, unless it specifically is matir, the Torah means to be prohibiting not just bachila but hana as well. Okay. So those are big gadol, the two perspectives. You find them as well in the Yerushalmi, with minor adjustments. So one thing in the Yerushalmi which isn't as explicit, I was talking about it with you guys, is that in the Bible it is clear that it's not just one could have read Rabbi Abahu the call here as being not derived from the fact that it says it in Nevela and it says it right, so therefore I know from the fact that the Torah needed to be matir that it must have otherwise been answered. It isn't clear necessarily in Yerushalmi that that's what's going on. It could also be understood as simply the, if I quote correctly, this is viable in Yerushalmi as simply giving you an example of where the Torah is matir, right? In other words, lo sochal, all the Yisuri Achila imply hana, unless the Torah is matir to you, like it does with regard to Nevela. Now the Gemara, in the end, is clear that this is the mucker for the idea that that's the case. The fact that the Torah needed to be matir v'achila Sorry. Makir hana in the case of nevela, or in the case of treifa, that's the makor for the fact that this is where Rebo gets it, that it includes hana. In Rishami, it wasn't very as clear that that's true. It could just be maybe he just understood, right? Rebo just understood. Well, Sotlu does in fact prohibit hana. Just if you think about the words well, or if you have the tradition, perhaps. And he's just saying, unless the Torah is makir, like it does been available, then it's going to be Azarbana. In any event, this is what we have in Chizkiya the Rabbi Abba. These two options are the main possibilities regarding the makor of the Issa. Now what we want to do is analyze these individually and then together. And what we're going to focus on first, and that's what this Makur sheet has in mind, is just understanding the nature of the lien. We will then separately discuss the question of the relationship between the Isser that is derived of Hana and the Isser Achil. That's something that I'm going to treat separately. Alright, so turning first to Chizkiya. So Chizkiya, as you said, derives the Isser Hana from Laya Achil. The question is, how do you get from Laya Achil to Isser Hana? And here, the Gemara says something which isn't all that clear. The Gemara says that Chizkiya interprets Laya Achil to mean If you translate that literally, it sounds like what it's saying is there shall not be with respect to it a heter achila. But what does that mean? It sounds like it's saying it shall not be mutar b'achila. So here you have Rishonim, right? This is the difficulty, the strain a little bit of, you know, the Gemara has yet to mention Hana. Where did Hana come from? It seems to be just giving us a different formulation. Formulating it as, like, with respect to the chetzah, not that you shall not be permitted to eat it, but it shall not be permissible to be eaten, almost. Okay, but where do I get the hana from? So that was the pressure here that Rishonim Rashi felt. And Rashi said something which is interesting. Rashi explains, what does it mean, le'et bohetra chilo? So he says, mash le'et bohetra maybe lidei shum achila. What heter achila means is ladafka a heter to eat, but rather a heter to do something which could, in the end, bring to an achila of something else. Right? Maybe lidei achila. And what are we talking about here? So what that means is, as an example, a heter maybe lidei achila is a heter to sell. Right? The stam hanos lidei achila him bos shem shelukeach bedamim davar ma'ach. Right, so the stam hanos, we'll get to what this means in a second. It sounds like he's saying that when I sell it, let's say, as an example, which is a great way to be nanas, to sell something, right? So I use it to profit. So the loya achil, what's being referred to here is the fact that I can use the funds that I gained from selling my chametz to then buy, let's say, kosher Pesach macaroons, right? So those are kosher Pesach. They're not chametz. But nonetheless, right, the selling of the chametz to then bring about my acquisition and ultimately the eating of those macaroons, so that is what is awesome, right? In other words, lo ye'achal chametz, lo ye'achal heter achila. You shall not do something which can, in the end, bring you to be eating something else. Now, that other thing is not itself chametz. Other thing is perfectly kosher l'Pesach. Nonetheless, that's what's included here under lo ye'achal chametz. It's a very strained interpretation, which we'll get to in a second. It's not easy even to formulate. Lo ye'achal means, it sounds like, lo ye'achal means it shall not be eaten. What is it that shall not be eaten? On Rashi's interpretation, what does it sound like? The lakuach b'dmeachametz. Now that's I think that's a source of a lot of the dochak that one feels in reading this Rashi, is that the pasuk says lo ye'achal chametz. But Rashi seems to be interpreting it. If it meant that, and we'll come back to this in a second. If it meant that, then it could have just said lo ye'achal chametz. Lo ye'achal chametz. What Chizkiya is saying is, if that says lo ye'achal chametz, it means that not only shall the chametz not be eaten, but it shall not be used to eat something else either. And, okay, now, before we get to the strain in this, there's one point that needs to be addressed is, is the question of the gap, let's say, or the range of anaos that are forbidden. Like ora, on this reading of the pasuk, what the pasuk is saying is specifically, it's specifically referring to one particular method of hana, namely mechir, right? Right? Only mechir seems to be referenced here, because only with regard to mechir do you get funds that you can actually use to then pay for something else. So how is it that you go, right, one issue that just needs to be addressed here is, how do we go from, let's say, lo yehayu hetar achila, which means you cannot do something which leads to an achila of something else, right? How do you go from, okay, so that means you can't sell it, right? Because you sell it, so then you're with the funds that you're profiting, you could then buy other food, and that food itself is sort of falling under the lo yehayu, you can't do that. So how do you go, though, from the single case of mechira to shar hanos, right? Hanos, let's say, is an example of hanos tzvia, let's say, using it as part of to dye something with it. This is an example. We'll get to what is the forbidden hanos, but hana of, let's say, heating it for, you know, using it for shemen or for heat, right? How do we get that hana from this? Those l'chora seem to involve, you're not turning that into funds to buy something else. So here I think there are two possibilities to have gone. One way just to understand, I think it's the simplest way in a sense, although I think Rashi already maybe points in a different direction, is that this is just simply one example of a hanah. Right? The Torah is ossering the hanah, a specific case of hanah, namely mechira. You can't free up money to buy other machalim. Right? Lo yachal means you can't do something which would enable you to eat something else. Right? But the point is, that's an example of a hana'a. I mean, what would that fall under? What would such a thing fall under? Where do we have such a concept that this would be forbidden? So the concept is, that's one of the things that is forbidden among Isuri hana'a. If something is forbidden to, it's forbidden for you to benefit from something, so one thing you can't do is sell it. You can't profit from it. And the Torah here is referring to specifically profiting by way of mechira. But that's just as an example of the category, right, which is that we're then supposed to extrapolate to the klal of Isuri hanah, right? You're not allowed to sell it, basically, the pasuk is indicating. And the idea is, not only can you eat it, you also can't get an offer, right? It's just offer by hanah. Similar to, I would say, right, when the Torah wants to indicate something, let's say, according to at least some, Rabbi Meir, when the Torah wants, this is Rabbi Bo, but the point is the same. When the Torah wants to indicate that it's mutter to be nana, what is the, let's say, on Rabbi Meir's, or according to Rabbi Bo's understanding of Rabbi Meir, what is the heter of the pasuk? Does it say mutter lanos bo mimena? It says what? O machor, right? Lanafri, right? You can give it, you can sell it to an afri. So does that mean that but everything else is usher ba now? All the other hanos are usher? No, it's just to be understood as an example of ana. So when the pasuk is makir, that is being makir ana. Likewise, Rashi would be, we would be understanding for Rashi, when the pasuk asers the mechira, right? So then it's just to be understood as an example of hana. It seems though that I think the Maran Chalava goes in a different direction, and I think he probably picks up on some words of Rashi here in saying this. But the Maran Chalava makes it more clear. Well, yeah, about Rashi, he says the kol shenehane b'chal hatachila. Right? This is not. It's not that. I think he's saying it's not just that, you know, this is an example we should extrapolate, but rather, no, this is actually all being referenced under the klal here of Le'ego Hedra Achila itself includes all hanos. How? The ha mishtar shale zuze be'eze inishiyah. Mishtar shale means that you profit, right? You marviyah. It's used typically in this sort of situation where you don't have to spend funds on something else. So that's you're being a star shape, somebody benefits you in some way, which allows you to spend money on something else. That's a star shale, you're profiting. Star shale zuze be'ezet inin shiyiyya. Right? However it is that you save the money, the point is hanah, you're saving money. And that fund can then be used to be maybe the day of hilo. Right? Everybody follow? So it's not just that you're selling, but whatever hanah. Now, just as a point to consider is that this seems to have an implicit premise here, which is regarding a question we'll get to, which is that, you know, we have, in terms of forbidden hanos, generally speaking, we can identify, I think, probably, let's say, two strands, two basic strands of hana. There's hana, financial benefit, right? I benefit financially, and there's hana, which is not, you wouldn't say it's particularly financial benefit. The point is it's some kind of gratification, satisfaction. Hana zaguf would be maybe the prime example of this, right? Where I'm benefiting from something, I'm using it for a purpose of mine that I, am finding gratification in. Let's say, for example, I'm heating it up to, I'm becoming warm by using it, right? Eating is a great example of that, of another hana zaguf. But these are, physical, mostly physical, but perhaps psychological, whatever it is, we'll see. We'll get to that. Satisfaction or gratification or satiation, right? That's hana as well. These are two different types of hana. Both of them will find, for most at least, there are shonim, we'll see that suggest otherwise, but both of them are indeed covered under the forbidden hanaos, right? But the question becomes then the relation between them. Without getting into all the possibilities, we'll just discuss one. One possible approach is to say that the latter case, the gratification satisfaction, is really just a special case of the former. It's only usur in as much as a special case of the former. The relevant hana really isn't, right, in the case that I use to warm myself. The relevant hana is not the satisfaction of being warmed, right, the hana zaguf, but the monetary value of that, that's a service that I'm getting, and I'm profiting monetarily in a sense, because I'm in charge of it, I'm considered to save that money that otherwise I would have had to spend on this gratification. So basically, in that vein, we're basically saying that all hanos ultimately are reducible, certainly measurable by, but ultimately reducible to, hanos, financial hana. Really, that's ultimately what's usur. The physical satisfaction, gratification, is not independently a different kind of hana. It's just that those things are things you pay for. All right, and this has certain implications, which we'll get to, in terms of the sheer, right, in particular, Shvei Pruta, right, to what extent we're going to assume that Hana is measured by Shvei Pruta. If it's all financial, then that makes sense. So in any event, it seems that Maran Kalav is adopting this latter approach, meaning, right, that all the Hanos, what's significant about them is ultimately that they are financial Hana, right, you profit from them, right, it's even, let's say, Hana Saguf, but it's being usher is a function of its being a monetary, it's a service, it's a monetary commodity in a sense, that you save when you don't have to pay for it. And in as much as that's so, this is true of every kind of hana, not just mechira, but also all the physical hana, let's say, when you sell them, I'm sorry, when you get them, you're basically saving money, and with that money, right, you're able to buy food. Okay, so that's just two points in terms of, two ways in terms of how you get from what it seems to be, being referenced here, referred to here, which is specifically the financial benefit of mechira, right? In as much as maybe the matzah, you then free up funds to buy something else. So two directions in terms of how we get from there to all hanos. One, that's just one example of hana, and the reason that's usher is because it's with all hanos, and therefore we'd extrapolate. Two, can everybody hear me still? I feel like I'm not communicating well. It's just a struggle. It's a little bit of a struggle. Okay, can I actually get the other mask? Is that all right?
Okay. Yeah, that's okay.
I just wanted to return for a moment to the quality of the limud itself. As I say, it's somewhat strained, and a big part of what's strained, I think, is the fact that in the end, that which is being nafal on this interpretation is not the chametz. The pasuk is le'yachal chametz, and what we're saying is hana is included. And how is that? Because not just that the chametz can't be nafal, but also something else that you buy via the chametz can be nafal. Le'yachal something else. Right. Basically, what we're saying is right. Lo yehei bo hetachilu is bo mean. Bo means via, through it. You shall not come to achilu of something else via this chametz, and that's a big surprise in terms of just the words lo yehei chametz. I think, however, on this point, there's perhaps room for a slight alternative take. According to which, what we'll say is, let's say even on Rashi's view, although I don't want to say that Rashi has this in mind, but I think it's just something worthy of being thought about. That what is being nachal, even on this interpretation, is the chametz. How is that? Everybody knows what the Torah is forbidding here is achila of chametz. Lo ye heder bo chila bo means that there's no heder chila of chametz. And the operative idea here being that to some extent the eating of a machal sheni bought and acquired with the tmei hamachal harishon, it constitutes in some sense an original achila, an achila of that original machal. The machal which is bought with tmei machal harishon can be viewed as representing the original ochel to the extent that such that achila of that machal hakuach b'tmei hamachal harishon could be considered on some level a kiyum of machal harishon, of achilas machal harishon. And I think you have perhaps two possible precedents for this. This is just something to throw out there, where you have the idea of eating some food bought with the Meha Machal Rishon is in some sense an achil of that original item. The first is the case of Maisa Sheni. Right? Maisa Sheni, the Pasuk says, V'achat l'fnei Hashem l'kecha, right? That which you're mafresh must be ochel l'fnei Hashem l'kecha, but makom she'erchad l'shakein shem l'sham, ma'asar d'ingancha, v'kirashka v'itarecha, etc. So the Torah specifies here that there's a din, the miser, the tvua, the dagan tirosh yitzar of the your mafresh for miser sheni has to be in Yerushalayim. V'achat l'national kecha b'makom hashem l'kecha. Now l'dat Ramban, this is an independent mitzvah saseh of one of the tayyak. This is in the list. Right, the Ramban wrote his asagas al sefer mitzvos. So the Ramban several times disagrees with the Rambam's having included certain things as mitzvos, or sometimes he just disagrees with how he separates them and doesn't group them together. I mentioned to some of you guys as an example. The Rambam lists four different mitzvos regarding chiyuv mitzvah bezin. He has a chiyuv mitzvah lahanish hamechuyave hereg, mechuyave chenek, mechuyave sreipa, and what am I missing? Gila. Right, he's got four different mitzvahs. The Ramban thinks that's not correct. That's not what we want to be counting here. These are all halakim, or all methods of being mekayin in the single mitzvah, we are mekvetah, and that frees up three mitzvahs. And so the Ramban, as a sagas, doesn't just simply critique the Ramban, but he wants to present a picture on his own of what the mitzvahs are, and therefore he ends up having several cases where he needs to point out what his mitzvahs are. He needs to enumerate several mitzvahs to get to the Tirag. This is true both Asin, Esin, and Los Aseis. So in the Shichrasa Esin, the mitzvah, what they're titled in the printed edition, the mitzvah Shichrasa Losan Harav, mitzvah Asay to feed Asar Ramban. The first mitzvah there, mitzvah Aleph, of the Esin, of the mitzvah Asay, is Shem Savinu Lechol Maisha Sheni, Bukharas Rishalayim, Tnea Kelly Salah, Guam Ro. So the Ramban believes this is a mitzvah saseh, that this food which you've been mafresh for Maisa Sheni, you must eat Yerushalayim. The Rambam doesn't count it. Now he does count the lav, the losa say, of eating chutz l'Yerushalayim, I feel it's Maisa Sheni chutz l'Yerushalayim. But the Ramban points out that shouldn't be an adequate answer for the Rambam, since in general in these sort of situations, his calls seems to be count the lav among the lavin and the assay among the assays, right? And he gives examples, the Rambam himself had said this. But whatever the answer to the Rambam, the point is that there doesn't need to be some sort of positive requirement to give Yerushalayim, that the Rambam doesn't count it, so you can look there in terms of why not, but perhaps it seems it's a din of some sort, but not necessarily a mitzvah say, right? The din needs to be in Yerushalayim, but it doesn't count as an impediment for whatever reason. But either way, this requirement exists, right? You have to eat it in Yerushalayim. And yet the Torah itself is then quite explicit, right? That which we had just been commanded or instructed or told to be eating in Yerushalayim need not be in Yerushalayim. It can be sold and eaten outside Yerushalayim. Right, it's hard to bring it. So what do? So you can, instead of eating it Yerushalayim, you can just sell it. Sell it and then what? So the most that you're receiving after selling it is known as kesef meiser or maos meiser. Those maos you would then have to use to buy food. Right, you take that with you to Yerushalayim, Alachim HaKom HaSher Kajam HaKabot, and then there, Benasad HaKesev, you have to buy, you would buy food and eat that in Yerushalayim, right? Benasad HaKesev, Afol HaShetev, Ben HaShetev, Bebakar, Betzom, Beyayin, Bekulei, Bekulei, Be'achat Lo'ef Ne'eshem HaKem. So this is somewhat, this requires understanding. I mean, the question is, how do we understand this? What happened to that requirement to eat the Achilas Maaser of Yerushalayim? You have Maaser Shein Yerushalayim. You had said that there's a mitzvah, you're required, Be'achat Lo'ef Ne'eshem HaKem, Maaser Shein. And this is a question I would say particularly, that's the Ramban, it's a real, genuine mitzvah aset. I think it's a question that's applicable to Ramban too, but particularly if you think that there's a mitzvah aset to eat this Yerushalayim, so what is the Pasuk then telling us? So I think there's two ways to go with this. One answer is, perhaps, what the Pasuk is saying, inasmuch as it's impractical, right, food is perishable, so the Torah exempts you from that requirement in the event that it's going to be difficult, and instead instructs you to take some other course of action. Right? That other course of action, on this view, the lekuach b'kesef ha-meiser, that's not a kiyum at all of meiser sheni anymore, that's just a separate din. L'shei mashal, mashal ma'ar dover dama, right, the Torah has a mitzvah of yibum, right, but if yibum is not to be, you know, if the parties don't want yibum, so then the Torah does instruct you, chalitza. Right, yibum is a mitzvah, as I say, there's no question, and then, but if you don't want to do it, so the Torah also provides for what you do in the case that it's not to be done. Similarly, you might say, Arivas Petr Chamor, right? Past week? 2 weeks ago? Actually, I can't remember. What was that?
It's 2 weeks ago. It was Shavtim, right?
Yeah.
That's 3 weeks ago.
Right. So the Pasuk says, right, that you should be a Koda, your Petr Chamor. But in most Sifta, you're after. Right? So there's a mitzvah of Pidyon Petr Chamor, but you also don't have to. So one could argue that it happens to be. Right, this is what the Torah is doing here. There's a mitzvah of Maaser Sheni, but if in certain situations where it isn't going to be fulfilled, so there's this alternative route of selling it. Now, according to this, on this view, that it just sort of happens to be that what the Torah requires you to do with the Kesef HaMaaser is to use it to do something that's sort of seemingly similar to the Maaser Sheni, which is the Yerushalayim, but that's a totally separate thing. That's the alternative route. You can't fulfill the chi of Achilas Maaser Sheni. I think the alternative approach is to say no, that requirement of the Achilas Maaser Sheni isn't exempted, but rather it's in a sense transmuted and fulfilled in a different form. The Lakulach B'Kesef HaMaaser represents the original Maaser Sheni. V'achalta that Maaser Sheni, if it happens that it's too difficult, so there's a way to still do that, and that is Substitute the food, the original Maaser Sheni, with other food that you will buy at Yerushalayim, which then has the din. It is, in a sense, representative of the original Maaser Sheni. The Torah allows the lakuach, the kesef ha-maaser, to be representative of that Maaser Sheni. So for all intents and purposes, that's now the Maaser Sheni. That represents the original tvuah peros that you were mafresh. You sell it, and then with that fund, you buy food representing the original Maaser Sheni. And in that case, the din of the achilas halakuach b'kesef ha-maaser Yerushalayim isn't a separate halacha. That's not just what you do in alternative course. It's a resumption of the original din, the original mitzvah. That's a kiyum of the original v'achalta. Right, food being perishable is fungible. So we say, all right. So then, in the event that we don't want to, we have to carry, you know, rotted peaches. So instead, right, substitute some other thing for those peaches, representing those peaches in a sense, so that you can still fulfill the mitzvah of Asata with National Kefa. Now, which one of these is the case? So the truth is, Michasinam actually raises the question regarding the lav. Right? The lav of Achilas Maaser Sheni Kusur Shalayim, does one violate that lav if you are okel the lakuach b'kesef ha-maaser Kusur Shalayim? Question that's interesting only that the Michasinus factor raised it. It seems like a pretty basic question, but the Michasinus himself assumes that that's not the case. You don't buy that the lav. I think one can similarly ask regarding the Ramban, right? Do you fulfill that mitzvah? As I say, my inclination is to think that you do. Even regarding the lav, I'm not so sure how obvious the Michasinus is. After all, we see that even though the pasuk only specifies achilas Yerushalayim, that's only din that the pasuk really specifically says applies to the lakuach against a meiser, we find it assumed that other dinim of meiser sheni also apply to it, which aren't specified. As an example, the Yisr Lechol Betumah, or even more, the Yisr Lechol Be'aninus. That this is the case, not everybody, I think the Mefasinus himself actually wasn't sure about it until he realized that Raman Paskins. The truth is it's explicit in Yishran. Because the Mishnah says that you're not able to use truma. You're not able to to buy truma. Even a kohen, let's say, is an example who can use truma, is not allowed to buy truma bit lakuach because of a maaser, because the nation might be achila, that somehow it constricts the mitzvah. So the Yishrami is Swiss that it means both of them get limited, and Yishrami explains that you know truma can be eaten by Yunus, but Maaser Sheni cannot be eaten by Yunus. Well, the whole of the question should be asked: here we're not dealing with the Maaser Sheni. You're not talking about Maaser Sheni. You're talking about the lakuach against the Maaser. I know that there's a din of you can't eat Maaser Sheni because there's a lochati that's a specific right from Yidu Maaser lochati only many. Right? But that's regarding, for the Rambam, that's a lot. That's regarding the Achilas Meister. Here we're talking about the alternative root, right? We're not talking about the original Kiyum Mitzvah Achilas. We're talking about the alternative root of Achilas Lekuach Beketzer Meister. And nonetheless, the Yishalmi assumes, and it doesn't even say, you know, that the Din of Lekuach Meister is Mimai Achilas. It says that you know, that it's Mimai Achilas as much as as Maaser Sheni cannot be eaten by Aninus or Betuma, and Truma, not Tuma, but Aninus and Truma can. It just calls it Maaser Sheni and applies to Dinum that apply to Maaser Sheni. I would argue that seems a pointed direction that the idea is that this is a kiyum of the original Achilas, the original Maaser Sheni. This is now the Maaser Sheni, this is representing that Maaser Sheni. You weren't able to eat that Yerushalayim, but you still have a kiyum of the Achilas Maaser Sheni Yerushalayim. Aideh is lakuach b'damav, which is viewed as representing. Right? And therefore, all the dinim that apply here, this is Maaser Sheni, the dinim that apply to the original Maaser, that's going to apply here as well. Each side is b'toras representing that original Maaser. I think that's possible. I also think that you perhaps find something similar. Again, this is all, you know, the Siman Shayla. I'm not, you know, saying this for sure makes sense, but I'm wondering. It's also getting really dark.
I don't know why this wasn't a problem earlier.
Sorry. Okay. That's better. Okay. So, the other possible precedent for this sort of idea, when is I have sheer when?
You said 115.
The other possible question for this, I think, is Achilas Perishvis. That happens to be another mitzvah, I say, according to the Ramban, right? The Pasuk says that this should be la'achla, the Perish should be la'achla, and Chazal Darshan, this has, you know, serious implications, la'alacha. You're not allowed to do certain things with it, because they're specifically la'achla, it's supposed to be eaten. It's nitna la'achila, it's in Lashon Mishnah, and not for anything else. Right, this too is a mitzvah sase in Ramban. This is mitzvah. Oh, did I say dalit in the card sheet? Sorry, I meant mitzvah gimel. It's mitzvah gimel in the essen. Right, so Amar Torah Per Shvius v'Haisal Shabbos Arts Lachem LaAchla V'Darsh LaAchla V'Laschara V'Zev Dvar Torah, etc. And this is why the Gemara in Bavasa says he can't, for instance, be porei achlo because he can only use it LaAchla. So this too is a mitzvah saseh. And here too you find that there's a halakha that while it's true that it's nitna l'achila, the lashon of the Mishnah, it's nitna l'achila, but that provides for that is not, you're still able to use it to sell it if you then were to buy it, other food with it and eat that other food with kedusha shvitz. Right? So that halakha exists. And here too one could claim, although I think it has a little bit less force, that what's going on here is simple. The only thing you can do with this, the only thing that's permissible to do, and according to the Ramban, as I say, is achila. But achila of it, right, can be achieved via substituting for it something which you buy with it, with the funds from it.
represents that original item insofar as I'm now being okol that. So that is viewed as being sort of a kiyum of achila of the original. And that's the heter, if you will. Right? It's usher to use it to sell for other purposes. It's mutter if I'm selling it for the purpose of achila.
These instances, though, we say that this has essentially tzvisas damim or something like that.
Yeah, here we that's true.
And
right?
Also by Maisa Sheni, right? I assume.
I don't know if the lashon is used by Maisa Sheni, the tzvisas damim. I don't recall.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Because
I just don't know. What? It says shviz tofeses damav. I'm not sure. I was thinking about this. I don't know.
Because I was wondering, in what sense is that related to the meaning?
In my view, that would be related to it. Meaning, it's not just an incidental point. The point is that the fact that shviz tofeses damav is it's built upon the infrastructure that basically we use substituting a food for using the selling and then using the funds to buy a different food as substituting it. And basically, what we're saying is that the certain technical dinim carry over through it.
But chametz is not tofes damim.
Yeah, that's the yisur hana. That's true. Correct. That's true. I haven't gotten back to chametz yet.
Okay.
Yeah. So come back to chametz now. So my point is as follows, that one could argue, I think, that, you know, we have this concept in the Torah that you know, where we have a requirement to be ochel, and if you accept my arguments, about these dinim, that can be achieved, that can be considered fulfilled, not only by eating it, but by substituting some other machal and then eating that, representing the original thing, with all the dinim of the original machal. That's considered an achila of the original chepta, of the original chametz, at least the gabe hamitzvah, and the gabe heter, and the gabe the dinim that applied to that original machal. So perhaps we might argue that basically what we're understanding lo yehachal here to mean is not just, right, lo yehetar bo heter chila doesn't simply mean that you can't eat it. It means there's no sense in which it can be eaten. There's no way to achieve an achila of this item, of the chametz. And what that's understood to mean is not only is eating itself forbidden, but so too, if you want to say, the eating of it in a broader sense, the achila salakuach badama. Right? That's the sense in which we're saying lo ye achel means that it shall not be, there should be no achila of it, not just in the sense of eating it, you know, eating it itself, but even in the concept of we have, let's say elsewhere, achilas ma'achal halakuach b'dmei ma'achal as sort of a kiyum of that achila, that too it shall not be, it shall not do for it. Now it's true, and this is something which I think is ultimately not really so much of a kasha on me, although maybe a little bit, because I'm claiming to solve some of the problem, but really a kasha of the original Rashi, which is that in the end there is no iser to eat that thing. If you were to do it, like you're saying, the din is that the iser hana is not tofes the bedama, as opposed to certain cases of Azar as an example, right, where we say that the iser hana is tofes kedamin, and whatever that damim itself you can't is not permitted. To be nana from. It's not true of the Isure, of Rome with the Isure, not including chametz. If you were to sell it illegally and violate thereby the Yisur Hanah, but the Dmei HaDavar, the Dmei HaChametz, you would be permitted to use that. That's true, and to some extent I think that's really part of what's difficult in Rashi. I mean, the first major strain in Rashi is, and I think this is the bigger issue, and I think I do have some. You know, this approach would alleviate some of the strangeness. The biggest, I think, issue is the fact that lo yachal, according to Rashi, it seems to be that what we're saying lo yachal is not, right, the original chametz, but this other thing. That's the achila being referred to here is not at all in any way the achila of chametz. It's achila of something else. Lo yehei bo het achila, you shall not come to eating something else via chametz. So that's a strange thing for lo yachal chametz to me. That it's not just that the chametz can't be eaten, but even other things besides, right? Even things which are bought by the funds from chametz. The second issue is it's not even really the din. Like, that thing is true. It's not the lacha. There is no isra achila of the lakua p'tmeha chametz. So that I think is still a challenge in Rashi. But I'm not sure. I think my. I'm not. This suggestion that I have, I don't think it answers all that. I think it does, though, alleviate some of the stress that you one feels from the discrepancy in Loyach Alfamint and then Loyach Achel something else, right? Which is the Achila that shall not be had here is this other thing. I think one way, right, in other words, I'm not claiming to address it, at least not yet. I'm really just addressing the point that, you know, Loyach Hebo Hadra Achila doesn't just simply mean you shall not eat something else via Chametz. It, in a sense, really means you shall not eat Chametz. And my claim is that there's that eating something that you buy with the funds of the original matzah can be considered in some level, and we find this, I'm arguing maybe we find this in some places, but that's considered to be a kiyum of the achila of the original thing. It's nitna l'achila, that means that it has to be eaten, or you can also achieve it's being eaten via something else which you buy with it being eaten. So when you say lo ye achel, the formulation of lo ye achel means lo ye heter achila bo, right? Lo ye bo achil means you can't eat it on any level, not it, and not that which you would buy with it. Now, in terms of the point being, but if I lemaisa, go ahead and I sell it, I am actually there. You know, if, wouldn't we? You know, shouldn't we interpret on this interpretation? Shouldn't we say that there's an isser of achilas? You know, the achila of the lakuach b'dam. I think Rashi, you know, could argue that not necessarily. The point is, you should not be putting yourself in a position where this is something you would be able to do. The yisr is to provide for the possibility of an achila, not necessarily the achila. It's not just that you can't eat it; you can't provide it for its being eaten, you know, via this broader concept of you know achila, namely where I eat something itself or something which represents it. So the way we're interpreting this, in which way, you know, I think Rashi would say this, and I think it applies to however you understand, you know, the. Is that we're saying you should not be able, you should not be providing for this. Alright, the lab dafka that it's actually there's an isra prohibition of eating the thing which we're talking about, whether or not be, you know, ultimately the chametz. So the point is it's not given to being, right? Either providing for something else being nafal on the original way to formulate it, or on my way to formulate it, something it's not given to being nafal aide a substitute. But that's not the same thing as prohibiting the actual eating of a substitute. It's saying it's not given to them. Okay? So that's, I think, an alternative sort of approach to Rashi, which maybe is something which you know, alleviates some of the strain. In any event, that's one interpretation. Men Rishon don't go with this Shita Rashi. They just cite it. However, I think there are alternative views. I'll just mention a couple here. So number two, right, the second possible explanation of what Chizkiyah here means, Lohei Hadar Achila, Lohei Bo Hadar Achila. What it means is that Lohei Achal, what Lohei Achal basically means is that you shall not facilitate its being eaten. Lohei Achal means you cannot have a role in its being natural. And the idea of Lohei Bo Hadar Achila means that even, you know, it's not just that you can't eat it, that eating is certainly forbidden by the Yisra Achila. You cannot have a role in its being eaten, even where there's no Yisra Achila. Right? Lo yehebo hetra achila, meaning the achila itself could be an achila's heter. How could that be? If let's say, as an example, you feed it to a dog. The dog is not commanded not to eat chametz. Right? This is applied to people. Right? Non-Jews are not commanded not to eat chametz. But lo yehebo hetra achila doesn't just... Lo yehebo means not just that you cannot eat it, but you shall not have a role in its being eaten. It literally means the chametz cannot be eaten. But it's being a command that applicable to you, right, means that you can have a role in that. Mashal ma'ad avadome, I would say just as a mashal, kol benekar liyochobo. Happens to be that there's questions among the Achronim and the Chassidim because it beats about this, about, you know, whether or not the simple formula, kol benekar, it sounds like it's addressing the benekar. But it's not one that's meant to be no, right? I don't have an isser for. So the understanding, I think, that most take is that the Isser, and certainly, maybe we'll see this at some point, certainly the Ketuv Mishnah, is that the Isser is that you shall not have a role in his eating it. You cannot be ma'achil it. You cannot allow for its being eaten via the non-Jew. It's a mitzvah addressed to a Jew, not to facilitate, even passively, I say, its being eaten by someone else, who is not himself forbidden to eat it. It's not one of the shepherds, you know. So maybe that's what lo yeachal means. Now, this, I think there's precedent for this, but specifically in the context of the word Ya'achel, and that I pointed you to, that the Lashon Ya'achel B'tzeira is indicating the facility of someone else's eating. You have that explicitly in Rabbi Shimon regarding Tumas Olchin. Right? The Pasuk says regarding Tumas Olchin, right, that becomes Tameh, what's Mekabel Tumah, I should say, is called Ochel Asher Ya'achel. Now, what does the Asher Ya'achel there mean? So there's a lot to discuss here, and some of it we'll get to elsewhere as well. But Rabbi Shimon held that what this means is that Yisurei Hana'ah are not Mitamin Tumas Ochlin, inasmuch as they are not Mikol Ochel Asher Ya'achel. What does Asher Ya'achel mean? Right? Now, they themselves seemingly are perfectly edible. But Asher Ya'achel means that you can facilitate their being eaten by somebody else. Mutu la'achil la'achir. And this is Rabbi Shimon in Menachos, Kuf Aleph Amud Beis. Everybody see it? Yeah? No? The Setzin Uksin is the one that. What?
Right,
the original Bryce is quoted in Setzin Uksin. Just as Rabbi Shimon thinks that. But there are four things in general, just as a background. Four things in general on Mikabel Tum. Right? The way we paskin, these are all derisive. At least the way Rabbi Paskin. Right, there's Adam, Kalim, Mashkim, and Ochel. So if it's not an Ochel, it won't be susceptible to Tuma. But the question is, what is the additional phrase of Asher Ya'achel? So here that Rabbi Shimon held that Yisurei Hana'ah are not Mitame Tumas Ochlin. Why not? So the Gemara doesn't say, but the Gemara in Chulin, in Menachos rather, does. Rabbi Shimon, my time in the name of Ravasi, in the name of Yosem. Rama Ravasi and Marbiosa, my time is Rabbi Shimon. Nikol Ochel Asher Ya'achel. Ochel Shatal Yachol Achilu La'Achirim Karay Ochel. Ochel Shita Achol Achirim In a Karay Ochel. So he says that as far that the Asher Ya'achel, what that means is that you can have a permissible role in facilitating, or you can facilitate its being eaten. Asher Ya'achel means that you not only that you can eat, but that you can facilitate its being eaten. And even though you would say, well, this is ochel in the end, even if you're prohibited to eat it or prohibited to have it be eaten, to facilitate it being, Rabbi Shimon is darshaning this pasuk to mean that in terms of the din of Kabbalah's Tuba, it's dafka ochel asher ya'achel dehainu ochel that you can facilitate as being. But the point is, we see clearly at least the possibility of understanding lo ye, of yet ochel as meaning facilitating its being eaten. Right? And if this is the case, so then we can argue, maybe lo ya'achel, what it means is, you cannot facilitate its being eaten, which means not only that you can't eat it, but you can't, let's say, as an example of what would be facilitating, feed it to a dog. Right? Exactly what the pasuk says. Right? That, the Gemara indicates, right, that lo set, that lakelo tashrikon oso, right, that that's a heter hana, because you otherwise are not able to do that. Right? You're not allowed to, let's say, just assume now it's feeding your own dog. You're not allowed to feed your own dog with the cereal now. So what lo ya'achel means is, right, that you shall not facilitate its being eaten. Let's say you can't feed it to a dog. I would argue that you can view the lakel tashrikon oso, lakel's klavim, but also, as I say, based on Rabbi Shimon, also feeding others. Right? That in a sense, giving it to others, selling it to others, right? When you sell a machal, you're not just selling something, you're selling a machal, and it's viewed as providing food to other people. That has a din of being machil. It's a description of hachala. So that's also, right, that's also like facilitating its being eaten by others. So you're not allowed to sell, you're not allowed to feed your dog. That's what this pasuk means. Now here, I think the most likely development in terms of how we get from here to Mr. Nub, because as I say, as I formulate it now, it can explain, it can refer to Hachal HaKlavim and Mechira. What about all the other Hanos? So then, I think is that this is just one example of Hana, and we extrapolate it to the entire category. The Rashash proposes this argument, this whole explanation. Here's a problem with this latter point. The Rashash, I found, Tubmatzasi, right, that the Rashash actually explicitly, including the Makor of Rabbi Shimon, cites this as an interpretation. He says, Anya Saiki, quotes Rashi, he says he can give a different interpretation. He says, oh yeah, Alpha Matra Alpha Club. Right? Mufari Shu, Mitam Hanav, Wedin Lechol Hanavas. Right? So the point is, the Torah specifies this one hana of achal l'kodim. I would have said Vardavka has to be achal l'kodim. It could also be, right, achal l'acher, by feeding, by you're providing food to them. Right? Nechir nesina. But who didn't shar hanos, and then he quotes the impression of Rabbi Shimon that he says, kol ha'ochel asher yachel shatei chol achilu l'acher, m'man zeh shir hana. What Tosa seems to be bothered by a little bit is that last point, namely going from the heter to feed, the iser to feed, to assuming that there's all kinds of an aser. I was discussing with you guys a little bit this. I don't think that the question is the strongest question. You know, it's not analytical type question, but it's something that the Rosh Hashanah had a problem with. But either way, that would be an alternative, the second possible approach in terms of understanding Hiskia's, just what he understands, what the Gemara here is saying. Well, yeah, bo hedrachilo, it means there is no way for you to be involved in it. There's no permissible role that you can have in the tzachil, even for nechil, which would otherwise be permitted, namely feeding it to, let's say, dogs or non-Jews. That also is forbidden. And then the argument is, and that covers one or perhaps more than just one, maybe also mechira. And then, but we are to understand that the category of things under which this will be forbidden is handaos, and kol handaos therefore are being forbidden. Okay. We'll stop now. I think I have a share now, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll stop now. We'll pick up Mirzah Shem.